Enjoy your hot chocolate. And for all you men, it was fixed in your mobile phones. I hope you're happy. We're here to praise the Lord. And we're here to hear his word. There's nothing greater than it. And we praise the Lord. Not just at this time of year, not just in a choral service, but now every day we have to praise the Lord. And so we're thankful to see you all here. And I hope and pray you have a great Christmas, praising the Lord and, you know, being in moderation with how much you eat and stuff like that. Ken, although I'm not very great at that, right enough. Now we're going to start with the Word of God. And Matthew Brown, where's Matthew? He's there, right, Matthew? You're going to come up and read a little portion of Scripture for John chapter 1. Verses 9 to 14. Hopefully you'll be able to see this okay, because the lights is not bright.
The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the Word was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the good, who were born not of blood, not of what? Will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Well done, Matthew. And the fact is that in believing in the Lord Jesus, he gives us his own life inside us to be born again, born of God. So let's come and sing our first choral. We'll stand and sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. And then after that, Alex Smith will lead us in prayer.
Thank you. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are able to come and adore you. Again, Lord, we thank you that love came down at Christmas. The love of the Lord Jesus came into this scene of time to save his people from their sins. And Lord, we praise and thank you tonight that you had so great love, a love that sent your Son to that center cross in Calvary and gave his lifeblood for sinners like me. And Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you tonight that we are able to come into this fellowship, Lord, to worship and praise you. And Lord, we praise and thank you tonight for your goodness and mercy towards us. And Lord, we pray that tonight, or even at this time of Christmas, Lord, that we would get joy in our lives, the joy of salvation, Lord. No other greater joy, no other greater gift can we receive than the Lord Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that we are able to come into your presence here tonight. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the singing of your word and the reading of your word. And Lord, we pray for all who are taking part. Bless and encourage them, we pray, Lord. Again, Lord, we are mindful of those who are unable to be with us tonight. Lord, some very sorrowful for the mourning the death of a loved one. We pray for the Sutherland family at this time. Draw near into our presence. But Lord, we remember those as well who feel the loss of loved ones at this time. We just pray that you would draw near to them. Sustain and uphold them, we pray, Lord. And Lord, again, we pray for those who are sick. We pray a healing touch upon each and every one. And Lord, for those who are confined to home and can't get out, draw into our presence, be near to them. So, Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you that you're a God that hears and answers prayer. So, Lord, we just leave this time in your hands, Lord. We pray that you would bless each and every head that's bowed here tonight, Lord, and every family represented, that you would draw near into their presence and be all that they need at this time of year, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you, Alec. Now we're going to keep our seats for this next choral, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
That was good singing. Now, Quines, you're coming up to sing O Holy Night. Now, you sung off a wheel on Monday night, and that was even without a microphone, and I'm not putting any pressure on you, but would you like to hold this microphone between? No? No, you wouldn't? Okay, then. Well, just sing out, then. Come on, we'll stand here, and we're going to sing O Holy Night. It's up on the screen there, okay? Come on. Very well done, girls. Very well done. And if I'm not mistaken, are you singing on Christmas Eve as well? Oh, that'll be lovely to look forward to as well. Wonderful. Now, we've got a scripture reading again, and Henri's going to come and read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Then after Henri has read this scripture, the kids are going to come up and we're going to sing, Oh, What a Special Night. Okay.
Sorry, I've to follow art, isn't it? Right, I've to adjust my eyes as well. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seems good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. In the days of King Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abjad. I'm Gimri, I can't pronounce those things. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years.
And why not? And why not? One should get a round of applause. Yes. I'm sure a boy just second name was West, but that's just a speculation. But anyway, come on kids up and we're going to sing Oh What a Special Night. Very well done indeed. Super. And we'll be hearing for you in a wee while. Now, Christian Young is going to come up and give us a Christmas reading. Thank you, Christian.
Good
the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas fades silently into the background of daily routine and is lost in the whirl of life's busy scene. And all unawares we miss and forego the greatest blessing that mankind can know. For if we lived Christmas each day, as we should, and made it our aim to always do good, we'd find the lost key to meaningful living that comes not from getting, but from unselfish giving. And we'd know the great joy of peace upon earth, which was the real purpose of our Saviour's birth. For in the glad tidings of the first Christmas night, God showed us the way and the truth and the light.
That is true, Christian. I mean, I speak to work colleagues that are not necessarily Christians about Christmas time, and they do agree, and I think most folk would agree, that we've lost our sense of wonder and perspective about the reality, the wonder of Jesus coming into the world and what Christmas should be about rather than what it has become. So thank you for that. Let's stand and sing the Calypso Choral now, See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw. Now, it's your chance, boys and girls, to sing again, so come on up. This is one that we've only really sung in the last sort of 3 weeks in the Monday meeting, special delivery, and so you can teach us all how to sing this, and it'll be up on the screen. Thank you.
Special delivery, yes, it's true. God gave Jesus.
Well, that was special. Well done. And we'll look forward to hearing you again on Christmas Eve. So we're going to sing another choral, and we'll start to sing this one, Silent Night. Now, let's have another scripture reading. It's in Luke chapter 2 this time. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen. Now we're going to keep our seats and we're going to sing another choral, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and then Andrew Young is going to come and speak to us for a few short moments.
Well, it's not long to go now, just another week, God willing, and we'll be, I suppose, getting over the festivities, really, won't we? We'll have been through Christmas, most of Christmas Day. We'll have heard, very interesting, actually, because I'm sure many of us will be sitting down to listen to the King for the first time this year. It's going to be an interesting experience, and I'm sure that we'll have all enjoyed some nice Christmas dinner, some Christmas dinner food. Often plays an important part at Christmas time, so I hope you've all got something nice to look forward to next week. But could you imagine if you went out for your Christmas dinner, and some of you might be doing that, imagine going for a Christmas dinner, and you're looking forward, you order a Christmas dinner from the menu, and you're looking forward to your turkey, and your potatoes, and your Brussels sprouts, well maybe not your Brussels sprouts so much, but your vegetables, your roast beef, your beef steak pie, and whatever, and the waiter comes in and he or she puts your dinner down in front of you, and you've got Brussels sprouts covered in cheese sauce, and that's it. What? You're thinking, what? Well, what an explanation for this. So you put in a complaint and the chef comes out And the chef tells you, says, I'm sorry, no turkey, no roast beef, no pigs in blankets, because you're in a vegetarian restaurant. And also, by the way, no potatoes, because most of our customers, they've been reading all this health food magazines and articles and stuff you get on the internet, and they've decided they prefer low-carb meals. But never mind, you can have your sprouts and your cheese sauce. Happy Christmas. Now, you've been fooled, haven't you? That's not a Christmas dinner. Sadly, today, many people are being fooled, because what they're being served up today is not a real Christmas. The important things are being left out. The important bit, the important message is left out. But if you have understood and accepted and embraced the message of Christmas, then you and I start to regain the real important elements. Okay, first of all, what do we regain? If we accept the true message of Christmas, and we've been hearing about it tonight, well, we regain this, a sense of reality. A sense of reality. I think for many today's celebrations seem to be a bit of escapism from real life. It all seems a bit unreal. You see on your TV in some of these Christmas adverts and TV programmes, and you see in pictures the cosy pretense of happy families all getting together, all smiling and all having a really great time. And as you walk down the aisles, you're getting your Christmas shopping, you're going down Asda's and Lidl's and Tesco's and wherever you go, you're hearing all these familiar cheery songs. So here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody's having fun. And it's the most wonderful time of the year. And I wish it could be Christmas every day. Is that really true, though? Is that reality? How do you reconcile that? It seems to be a bit detached from reality of life, from social problems. What does such a view of Christmas, if you like, a materialistic view of Christmas, leaving God out, what does that offer to those who are struggling to pay their bills, to put food on their tables? How does all this cheery songs and messages and pictures, how's that reconciled, and how does that help those caught up in war in Eastern Europe at this time? How does it help people who are suffering from illness, COVID, flu, viruses and whatever? How does it help those who are alone, suffering, been through bereavement? There is one song you'll hear being played as you do your shopping, and then also it maybe comes closer to the mark. The song by Band-Aid, remember? There's a world outside your window, and it's a world. It's a line that says, there's a world outside your window, it's a world of dread and fear. That's a bit closer to the mark, and of course that song was a release to help people who were in great need many years ago. The real Christmas message. Okay, people are being served up this message at Christmas, all this, you know, these happy jolly songs and images. But it's not reality. The real Christmas message connects with life as it really is. It doesn't make men and women, young and old, out to be better people than we really are. In the Christmas message, God confronts us and shows us what we really are like, what our hearts are like. It has been said, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. God shows us what we really are, and our conscience tells us, doesn't it, that we're not perfect people at all. We've all failed, and we, you know, men and women are selfish, self-centred. Men and women have a great need. We're all sinners. We've all done things which are wrong. But God breaks at Christmas time, and he offers love and forgiveness. And we have a great need, and we can't do anything about it in and of ourselves. We can't save ourselves. And what's more, you look at this world outside our window, we can't do anything to change it, but God can. And he does change people. He changes one person at a time. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. But the Bible tells us that God knows the heart, that our Lord Jesus Christ knew what was in men. He knew their hearts. But God can change a heart. And the hope for men and women, the real message of Christmas shows us that, really, there is hope, that But there is hope for men and women. Men and women, mankind has failed, and the world's in a mess today. Seems that this country's been a right mess this last year, but there's hope. There's hope for people today, and that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of Christmas tells us that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Although men and women live without God, although men and women live in rebellion to him, that's the real problem in the world today. But despite all this, God is a God of love and grace, and God sent Jesus to save people, to change people's lives. Christ came into the world to save sinners, to change people from within. And that's possible because Jesus has come, lived a perfect life. He was born, as we remember at Christmas, lived a perfect life, up that life freely. He died and he paid a price for sinners. He paid a price that we could never pay by ourselves. And he'll save, he'll truly save and change all who repent and believe in him. And the evidence of true salvation is a changed life. The real Christmas message, the true meaning of Christmas in the Bible, God's message, brings us back to reality, shows us what we are, shows us our need, points us to the Saviour that we all need. And secondly, the real Christmas message brings true joy and true hope. Now, I mentioned that you see all these pictures and images of happy families around their Christmas, in the living room, and around the Christmas dinner table and whatever, and all these happy images that you get portrayed on television or wherever, and you hear all these happy, jolly Christmas songs. Everyone wants to have a good time at Christmas. The expression Christmas cheer is one that you might hear. Are you full of Christmas cheer? How do people really feel? How have you been feeling? How do people feel in the build-up to Christmas? And I find, and you maybe find this as well, that very often people are in a panic. People have a sense of dread. There's a bit of a panic. There's, we've got to get the presents bought. We've got to get the cards sent out. We've got to get the dinner ready. Have I got everything in? That tends to be the overall feelings in the build-up to Christmas. You know, we're hearing about the shepherds in the Bible reading just a few moments ago. How did they feel on that first Christmas? Were they panicking? Well, this is what we read in Luke 2 and verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Maybe a better word would be awe, filled with awe. Because something great was happening. Something special was happening. God was breaking in. God was speaking. And there was going to be real, he could bring real Christmas cheer. In the build-up to Christmas, I said, there's often a bit of, oh, have I got everything I need? Have I got all the presents wrapped? Is everything out? What about, how do people feel after Christmas? Are they filled with Christmas cheer? I think Christmas cheer lasts as long as the food, the drink, the holidays, the special TV programmes and the films and everything. But then it's over and it's back to life and back to reality after 1st, 2nd January or whatever. But you know something? The real message of Christmas holds out real joy and true peace. The angels appeared, there's a multitude of angels appeared to the shepherds, and they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. See, the real message of Christmas brings true peace. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. As I'm saying, these days Christmas isn't really a peaceful time for many people. It's frantic, there's a panic, you're rushing about, there can be tensions. But the real Christmas offers this, true peace. 700 years before he was born, Jesus was given these titles by the prophet Isaiah: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Although men and women, young and old, across all nations, have been at war with God, they've gone against God, they've been at war with God, they've been rebelling against God, God has a peace treaty. We've been at war with God, but God can and will bring us back. God is a God of amazing grace, as the old hymn puts it. And if we turn from living for ourselves and from being self-centered and from being sinners, if we turn from our sin, the Bible calls it repenting, and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can know true joy, true peace with God. We can have a true hope as well that goes well beyond the festive period, goes on forever, time and for eternity. And we know, well, the Bible teaches that Jesus will come a second time, and we know that when he comes again, or when we pass from this scene of time, when we go from this life into the next, we'll be ready to face him. There is hope if we put our faith and trust in Jesus. God is a God of grace to those who put their faith in Jesus, and a true faith is seen by a person following Jesus as their Saviour and their Lord. Will you put your trust in Jesus? Will you embrace the real message of Christmas this evening? There's some, we left some leaflets and tracts up by the door on the seats where Rebecca's, just up next to where Rebecca's sitting. Feel free to take them, all free. Okay, take them away. Keep up yourself, read them through. It's a life-changing message in these. There's one called The True Meaning of Christmas. It emphasises what I've been saying just now. There's one actually here as well, draw your attention, by somebody who was a friend of the church. Well, two men actually visited the church years ago, Roger Carswell and David Earnshaw. Remember him? Well, do take, feel free to take it away. Important Christmas message there, and all of these leaflets and booklets and things. So feel free, take it away, as I say, they're free to take, read it, and certainly as well, if you want to talk with Norman or myself or with Robbie, feel free to talk about anything you've heard this evening or anything that's happened this evening. Have you embraced the true message of Christmas, though? Brings us back to reality, shows us what we really are like, shows us with a great need. We all need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know our sins are forgiven. We need a change of life. And we need a change of heart. Have you experienced that in your own life? I hope this year you'll embrace the true and the lasting message of Christmas that offers salvation and hope. Amen.
Thank you very much, Andrew. And you was even getting a round of applause for a couple at the front here. Now, it's high praise indeed. That's well done, Matthew. And I'll be keeping quite a close note on Andrew's dinner plate on Christmas Day. Because God willing, there will be Brussels sprouts and there will be cheese sauce. But it's not about food. Jesus says he's the bread of life. And he's the one that feeds us. He's the one that sustains us. He's the one, as Andrew says, that gives us true peace. So may the Lord bless you all this Christmas time, because it's a daily relationship with him. And may the Lord bless you all. Now we're going to stand and sing our final choral, Joy to the World. please be seated as we close in prayer. And do remember there is a Christmas Eve service at 6:30 next Saturday night. The service will be here, and then we'll have tea in the back hall afterwards. But may the Lord bless you this Christmas time and in the days to come. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. You are Almighty God. You are the Ancient of Days. You are the one who is and who was and who is to come. You are the first and the last. And Lord, you love us so much, you sent your Son Jesus into this world, not just to live and grow and live a perfect life, but to die as a perfect sacrifice for our redemption, for our forgiveness of sins. And Lord, even though you died and you were buried in a tomb, on the third day you rose from the dead and you ascended into heaven 40 days afterwards, and you're coming back again. Lord, may we, each one of us here, be ready for you coming back, and may we live for you from day to day. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us now and forevermore. Amen. Have a good day, everybody. Thank you very much.